Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Our topic tonight is We Are One, and we'll start our service by singing hymn number 416. I'll read the second verse. God is the only perfect one. My perfect self is one with him. So man is seen as God's own son when truth dispels the shadows dim. Hymn 416. Shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. 1 Corinthians. There is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Genesis. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. 1 Corinthians. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Matthew. Jesus said, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. John. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisee therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, He neither know me nor my Father. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. Then said Jesus unto him, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I and my Father are one. Malachi, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Romans. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Ephesians, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I'll now read from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. God is one. The allness of deity is his oneness. Generically, man is one, and specifically, man means all men. It is generally conceded that God is Father, eternal, self-created, infinite. If this is so, the forever Father must have had children prior to Adam. The great I Am made all that was made, hence man and the spiritual universe coexist with God. God is mind, and God is infinite, hence all is mind. On this statement rests the science of being, and the principle of this science is divine, demonstrating harmony and immortality. Divine mind is the only cause or principle of existence. Cause does not exist in matter, in mortal mind, or in physical forms. Adorable One. Christian Science reveals incontrovertibly that mind is all in all, that the only realities are the divine mind and idea. This great fact is not, however, seen to be supported by sensible evidence until its divine principle is demonstrated by healing the sick and thus proved absolute and divine. This proof, once seen, no other conclusion can be reached. Man is idea, the image of love. He is not physique. He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas, the generic term for all that reflects God's image and likeness, the conscious identity of being, as found in science, in which man is the reflection of God or mind, and therefore is eternal. That which has no separate mind from God, that which has not a single quality underived from deity, that which possesses no life, intelligence, nor creative power of his own, but reflects spiritually all that belongs to his Maker. Man is the expression of God's being. If there ever was a moment when man did not express the divine perfection, then there was a moment when man did not express God, and consequently a time when deity was unexpressed, that is, without entity. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." The eternal Elohim includes the forever universe. The name Elohim is in the plural, but this plurality of spirit does not imply more than one God, nor does it imply three persons in one. It relates to the oneness, the triunity of life, truth, and love. The theory of three persons in one God, that is, a personal trinity or triunity, suggests polytheism rather than the one ever-present I Am. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The everlasting I Am is not bounded nor compressed within the narrow limits of physical humanity, nor can he be understood aright through mortal concepts. The precise form of God must be of small importance in comparison with the sublime question, what is infinite mind or divine love? As mortals give up the delusion that there is more than one mind, more than one God, man in God's likeness will appear, and this eternal man will include in that likeness no material element. Spirit, life, truth, love combine as one and are the scriptural names for God. Let us rid ourselves of the belief that man is separated from God and obey only the divine principle, life and love. Here is the great point of departure for all true spiritual growth. When we realize that there is one mind, the divine law of loving our neighbors as ourselves is unfolded. Whereas a belief in many ruling minds hinders man's normal drift towards the one mind, one God, and leads human thought into opposite channels where selfishness reigns. When we fully understand our relation to the divine, we can have no other mind but his, no other love, wisdom, or truth, no other sense of life, and no consciousness of the existence of matter or error. Man is the idea of spirit. He reflects the beatific presence, illumining the universe with light. Man is deathless, spiritual. He is above sin or frailty. He does not cross the barriers of time into the vast forever of life, but he coexists with God and the universe. Immortal man was and is God's image or idea, even the infinite expression of infinite mind. An immortal man is coexistent and co-eternal with that mind. God and man are not the same, but in the order of divine science, God and man coexist and are eternal. God is the parent mind, and man is God's spiritual offspring. Jesus of Nazareth taught and demonstrated man's oneness with the Father, and for this we owe him endless homage. The resurrection of the great demonstrator of God's power was the proof of his final triumph over body and matter, and gave full evidence of divine science, evidence so important to mortals. The belief that man has existence or mind separate from God is a dying error. This error Jesus met with divine science and proved its nothingness. The divine image, idea, or Christ was, is, and ever will be inseparable from the divine principle God. Jesus referred to this unity of his spiritual identity thus: Before Abraham was, I am. I and my Father are one. My Father is greater than I. The one Spirit includes all identities. By these sayings, Jesus meant not that the human Jesus was or is eternal, but that the divine idea, or Christ, was and is so, and therefore antedated Abraham, not that the corporeal Jesus was one with the Father, but that the spiritual idea, Christ, dwells forever in the bosom of the Father, God, from which it illumines heaven and earth. Not that the Father is greater than Spirit, which is God, but greater, infinitely greater, than the fleshly Jesus, whose earthly career was brief. Spirit being God, there is but one Spirit, for there can be but one infinite, and therefore one God. Man is never God, but spiritual man, made in God's likeness, reflects God. In this scientific reflection, the ego and the Father are inseparable. God, without the image and likeness of himself, would be a non-entity or mind unexpressed. He would be without a witness or proof of his own nature. Spiritual man is the image or idea of God, an idea which cannot be lost nor separated from its divine principle. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 23. The first commandment is my favorite text. It demonstrates Christian science. It inculcates the triunity of God, spirit, mind. It signifies that men shall have no other spirit or mind but God, eternal good, and that all men shall have one mind. The divine principle of the first commandment bases the science of being by which man demonstrates health, holiness, and life eternal. One, infinite God, good, unifies men and nations, constitutes the brotherhood of man, ends wars, fulfills the scripture, love thy neighbor as thyself, annihilates pagan and Christian idolatry, whatever is wrong in social, civil, criminal, political and religious codes, equalizes the sexes, annuls the curse on man, and leaves nothing that can sin, suffer, be punished, or destroyed. God is one, not one of a series, but one alone, and without an equal. Question: Is there more than one God or principle? Answer: There is not. Principle and its idea is one. And this one is God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being. And his reflection is man and the universe. As a drop of water is one with the ocean, a ray of light, one with the sun, even so, God and man, Father and Son, are one in being. Let's spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then we'll pray aloud together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Second hymn tonight is 218. I'll read the third verse. One in the freedom of the truth, one in the joy of paths untrust, one in the heart's perennial youth, one in the larger thought of God. 218. Liners and in-church attendees, thanks very much for coming to our Carmel Church tonight. Christian Science is the practice of the laws of God, laws of good that Jesus demonstrated and expected his followers to go and do likewise. We're a branch of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts. Our sermons come directly from our pastor, the Bible, and the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Murray Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science. We extend a warm invitation to join us for services this coming Sunday at 10:30, featuring a lesson sermon that asks, are sin, disease, and death real? All our services are designed to promote healing and spiritual growth. And for anyone searching for a more spiritual concept of life and an understanding of the healing Christ, our services are just for you. We have a couple of terrific meetings for you to attend the last weekend of this month. The first is a Bible talk on the book of Matthew with Madeline Maupin. That's Saturday, April 27th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Fifth Church of Christ Scientist in Indianapolis. Now, there is a cost. It's $50, but it has a lunch included in the talk. Downloadable sign-up information is available in a couple of places for you if you haven't already signed up. csin-online.org, and also our Carmel Church website, carmelcs.org. Just download the PDF, fill it out, and email it in. Then the next day, you're invited to attend a special meeting sponsored by the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston. That's Sunday, April 28th at 1 p.m. at Sixth Church, Indianapolis. Focus of this meeting is addressing needs of branch churches and societies, taking a look at the specific obstacles that seem to stand in the way of progress and how we can counter them effectively. Keith Womack, who is the president of the Mother Church, will share and welcome ideas on how to strengthen our individual commitment to the healing practice of Christian Science and to our church, which Mrs. Eddy founded. Well, I hope that the readings tonight have given you some spiritual food for thought. Have you had a recent healing, or maybe had a God thing happen in your life? Maybe the readings sparked memory of a previous healing that you've had by applying Christian Science. Please share with us now your gratitude and remarks, the blessings and healings that have resulted from your study and application of Christian Science. I forgot to mention we do have a microphone, and so if you want to stay seated, you can also give your testimony or thoughts seated. But we'd love for you to stand too.
Thanks a lot for the readings. I think the thoughts I had coincide a lot with different citations that you did read for us. And this happened this morning, and I haven't given it much thought since then, so I hope this, I hope I get through it. My son's grandmother-in-law passed on last night, and I received a text this morning telling me that she had passed on. Her name is Vivian, and I was pretty close to her. She lived up north a little ways in Indiana, but whenever there was a family gathering, she would be down for it, and of course I would be there, and we did talk a lot together and spent a lot of time finding out about each other and sharing things. So I really had some deep feelings about her. And I wrote to the family right away, expressing my thoughts about Vivian. And I remember I said she was a wonderful person. And I couldn't go any further right at that point. That just didn't sound right. And so I put an "and," is a wonderful person. So she was a wonderful person, and she is a wonderful person. And I guess about the time I sent that email out, I started to be affected by the way I expressed it. I don't know if I've ever written that kind of a letter before to someone that was experiencing that kind of experience, but it just seemed so right. The was accurate because she was a wonderful person, but the is just seemed to be more true and more accurate and more real and more right. And it had an effect on me. I was able to pause and actually grow a little bit, realizing what I was saying and what I meant. And it seemed to be so much in line with Christian Science and the readings that you did, and it really affected me. I became so enamored with Christian Science and my love for Christian Science and my gratitude for having Christian Science in my life, and it caused me to look at this experience that my son's family was going through in a uplifted and beautiful way. She is a wonderful person, and I was very grateful for Christian Science and how it helped me have this understanding.
Thanks for those insights. Wonderful. Thank you.
I had an experience just a short while ago where it was proof of one mind. It was not nearly as profound as the last speaker's experience, but I've had the responsibility with election time. I've had the responsibility of providing workers, at least three people, for the polling place, for one of the polling places. And there's been a family, husband, wife, and their daughter, which have just been so faithful in serving and being grateful for the experience and doing a wonderful job. And they've done it for a number of years. And so I called, just double check if they were planning to do that. And I got a message back that the husband had passed on, and he was the one that had the big responsibility of getting up at 4 a.m., picking up the package the day before and setting up all the voting machines and being at the polling place at 5 a.m., opening them at 6 a.m., and then closing up and tallying the votes and taking everything up to the courthouse, a big responsibility and lots of details and so forth. And I made, obviously I expressed my love and affection for the family and how grateful I was for all of the good work that he had done through the years. And then the wife called me back and said she and her daughter decided they would like to continue to serve, but it still left this one position of big responsibility. And I called a couple of people and to see if they could fill in the situation. And no, it wasn't. There wasn't a quick answer coming forward. And I really and truly knew that it was but one mind, and God knew the need. And it was probably the day following that I got a call from someone who is responsible for gathering all the names and so forth, and they asked me if the slate was filled. And I said, no. I said, I'm sad to report that the inspector passed away. And this person that called me had gotten a call from someone wanting to work at the polls. And that prompted her to call me. And when I shared that the inspector spot needed to be filled, she said, oh. She said, there's a situation where two precincts were put together, and one person who had been the inspector for years, he lost his opportunity, and he was very disappointed. And she said, my goodness, is this how God works? She said, here's his name and number, give him a call. And the need was and has been met. And every time there's been a conversation, either with the lady that called me or with the man that's going to fill in the inspector's position, God's been part of it. Each one of those people, and of course, I acknowledged it was God at work and meeting the need. And whatever the need is, when we turn to the one mind, an answer unfolds. But it was also wonderful that that man and the woman who was the pivot point in the situation both have acknowledged God more than once. In fact, what we would call in Christian Science a demonstration, that's what they were saying in their own way. So grateful to know that divine love is meeting every human need, and there is only one Father. Thank you for your readings.
Thank you.
I think in the visits to this church, I had mentioned that when I was a reading room librarian in Bartlesville, that a man was coming in over a period about 2 years, who often was intoxicated and had a huge guitar on his back and really was looking for a place to sometimes get out of the cold, but also was receptive to looking up Bible verses. He was actually knowing Psalms and other books of the Bible quite well. But over the time he came to our reading room, over 2 years probably, there were times when we had to actually say that he couldn't come in because he was intoxicated. But it was quite humbling to be able to minister to him by feeding him sometimes a cup of warm soup or giving him some hot tea. But I knew over the whole period that I was there in the reading room to witness the perfect man. It turned out that we didn't see him for a while, and right after before we moved our reading room back into the church, at Christmas, the Christmas before, he came to our reading room and expressed great gratitude that he was not homeless anymore and that he had been, so to speak, I think they call it dry, or he had not been drinking for close to 2 years. When our reading room moved, then there was in the window a sign that we had moved to the church, but that wasn't left in more than maybe a month or so. So like 2 months ago or 3 months ago, we suddenly got calls at the church reading room location, and it was Brad looking for us, wondering where we were. And it is like, to me, almost like a miracle. He has started taking the bus from the east side of town and has attended over the last months 3 of our Wednesday night testimony meetings, and he is filled with love and gratitude. I am just very humbled to see that really we are here to be our brother's keeper by seeing our brother, man, and sister as godlike, and that is our duty. And sometimes I find it much easier to do when there's somebody seeming less fortunate. But what he did mention to us, what really is he so grateful for, that we saw him in his true light and that we had faith in him and that we saw him how he wanted to be seen, and we expressed love. I'm just supremely grateful for this proof of God's care for everyone. Thank you for your reading.
Thank you.
Thank you for your readings tonight, Scott. They were wonderful. And, you know, it's I was drawn to an article this morning that I haven't seen for a long time. It appeared in the Wall Street Journal, I would say maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And it was an article that had been written by an admiral in the Navy who had been in charge of, and was at the time still, in charge of Navy SEALs and their training. And he had given a commencement address to a college in the southern part of Texas. And it was this commencement address that was printed in the Wall Street Journal. And he went through the different challenges that were presented to these Navy SEALs who actually became Navy SEALs, because the group, the class, would always start out much, much larger. But the challenges were enormous, and it was a time of immense growth for these individuals. And so it was about changing the world. If you want to change the world, you had to do, you know, accomplish all of these different stages to become a Navy SEAL. And one of the final things that these men had to achieve was their training takes place in San Diego. And between San Diego and Tijuana, there's a place called the Tijuana Sloughs, which is a swamp area, largely just sand and water. And so they take these SEALs, the SEALs who are left, because this is the ninth week, just right before they actually achieve the goal of becoming a Navy SEAL. They go out to the Tijuana Sloughs, and they are placed up to their neck in mud. And it's freezing cold, and they have to spend the entire night going through this. But if five of them will say that they quit, then everyone can get out of this and be free and be on their way to becoming SEALs. But, of course, not one of them wanted to give up. But it was just gruesome and grueling to be in that situation. And, you know, how are they possibly going to make it through the night? And so he, the admiral, shared that one of the gentlemen started singing. And then another started singing, and then a third, and then the entire group sang, and they sang through the night. And his thought was, if you want to change the world and you're up to your neck in mud, sing. Well, so often we probably feel like we're up to our neck in mud, and when we're challenged and deeply challenged, as everyone is at certain times of their experience, Christian Science is that hope. Christian Science gives us the fresh inspiration, the outflow of the laws of God. You were reading from the desk tonight, these laws of good that are utterly reliable, forever true, and completely real. And so I was so inspired when I read that article. He said, you know, there are some individuals who have changed the world, a Washington, a Lincoln. And I thought Mary Baker Eddy's name should have been right there on that list of one who brought hope to the world and was a true force for change and hope and advocacy for good. At any rate, your readings tonight made me think of that article today, and I've been so inspired by it all day. And I will be inspired now by your readings here this evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll wrap up our service by singing hymn number 151. And I'll read the first verse. Jesus' prayer for all his brethren. Father, that they may be one, echoes down through all the ages. Nor prayed he for these alone, but for all, that through all time God's will be done. 157.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.